You're listening to How to Win with Mike Moore, the podcast that provides you with practical insights on how to win in every arena of life.
God wants His people to prosper, and I believe that He's anointed me to help you to prosper, to go from one level to another level all year, and we're going to break poverty and lack and scarcity, unfulfilled desire over your life. It's going to take you to another level of abundance in God. Come on, take this journey with me. How to Win Our Prosperity Edition 2024.
Are you ready to break free from the chains of anxiety, stress, and depression? Mike Moore, author and founding pastor of Faith Chapel and host of the How to Win podcast, is here with his new book, Help, My Mind is Under Attack. Learn how to overcome attacks on your mind and live an emotionally healthy life. Grab your copy now, available as ebook on Amazon and paperback on MikeMoore.com. Embark on your journey to complete mental health and emotional peace.
Hello, I'm Mike Moore, and welcome to the How to Win podcast. These podcasts are based off 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Listen, I'm so glad to have you with us today. We're in a wonderful, powerful series entitled No Way to Win. And my goal in this series is to create for you an honest appraisal of your capacity to win in life. We want you to really be honest. We've learned in this series, and this is a four-lesson series, and this is our third lesson, but we've learned that there are two system by which we can prosper in, the world system and God's system of prosperity. We've learned that this world system is going to bring toil, it's going to bring some trouble, and I'm saying you can't win operating in this system, but unfortunately, many Christians, not only the ungodly, but many Christians are operating in the world system. In our second episode, we talked about the world system. Well, actually, in our first episode, we answered the question, what is the world system? The second episode, we said that the world system is built on deception. In this third episode, we're going to talk from the subtopic, the world system is built on compromise. Deception and compromise. That's why it's a no-win situation. So today, we're going to talk about compromise. What is compromise? Compromise means to accept standards lower than what one should, to accept standards lower than one you should accept. In other words, it's lower than your value system. It's lower than a standard that you should accept. Compromise means to weaken or reduce the level of one's commitment, character, integrity, relationships, or values. I said that again. Compromise means to weaken or reduce the level of one's commitment, or one's character, or one's integrity, or one's relationships, or one's values. You're accepting a standard lower than you should accept. Okay. Now, compromise is a part of Satan's arsenal. We see in Scripture that Satan tempted Jesus to compromise in what we call the wilderness temptations in Matthew 4, 8 through 9 in the New King James Version. This is what it says. Again, the devil took him, Jesus, up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to Jesus, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. There were different temptations. One, he tempted Jesus to turn stone to bread. Another temptation, he challenged Jesus to jump off the temple, the angels would catch him. But in this temptation, he takes Jesus up into this mountain and supernaturally shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and the scripture says the glory of them. That's the wealth. He showed them the kingdoms and the wealth of the kingdoms. And he said to him, now listen, all this I'll give to you if you'll fall down and worship me. Bow down and worship me. Now, Jesus did not argue with him. In another translation, it says that he said to Jesus, it's been delivered to me. It's been delivered. In other words, God, who is the creator, created the earth and delegated the responsibility of running the earth to Adam and Eve. Man, the man disobeyed God in the garden and handed over the authority to run the earth to Satan. He says, it has been delivered to me. Whoever I want to give it to, I can give it to. Now, Jesus didn't argue with him. He didn't argue with him because at that point, Jesus had not defeated him, had not taken away his authority. So this is a legitimate temptation. He said, I'll give you the wealth because it's been delivered to me and I can give it to whoever I wants to. But the requirement is that you fall down, bow and worship me. Now, Satan is still, thank God Jesus didn't take him up on that offer, but Satan is still offering the wealth of the world to men and women. And either consciously or unconsciously, men and women are taking up Satan on his offer. They are receiving wealth through his system. But in order to receive wealth through his system, you have to bow down. In order to prosper in Satan's system, you have to bow down. That's compromise. You have to bow down to either lying, stealing, cheating, affairs, selling illegal drugs, illicit sex, gambling, workaholism. You've got to bow down. You've got to compromise. Now, if you are, let's say, sleeping with the boss can promote you. Maybe you're sleeping with the owner of the company, and that owner of the company is promoting you because you are engaged in an illicit relationship with him or her, and you're receiving promotion. Now, that promotion that you receive is coming through your compromise, is coming through you working the world system. Maybe your boyfriend, maybe you're single, your boyfriend is paying for your bills, you know, but you know, in order for him to pay for them bills, you've got to sleep with him. In other words, you got to give up some sex, you pay your bills. Now, your bills are getting paid, but you're compromising, okay? You're operating the world system. You get the money, but it's the world system. Workaholism is a part of the world system. It is a perversion of God's gift of work. God gave man work in the garden before the fall. It's a gift. Work is a gift. Satan comes in, establishes his system. He's a perverter. He twists what God does, and Satan instituted workaholism. Workaholism is a perversion of God's gift of work, and it is a part of the world system. Workaholism is a part of the world system. Now, Satan designed compromise for several reasons. I want to give it to you. Now, he established a system that demands compromise. It demands it. Now, listen carefully. Satan, in designing compromise, he has decided that he wants to rob you of your integrity. He wants to rob us of our integrity. Number two, he wants to rob us of our reputation. Number three, he wants us to rob us of our moral authority. And then number four, he wants to rob us of our life and destroy every person connected to us in relationships. So Satan has designed compromise to rob us, Integrity, we're going to talk about that. Reputation, we're going to talk about that. Moral authority, there are two ways to lead. There's positional authority, where you have a title and people respect the title, but maybe not you. But because you have a position and you can determine some outcomes in their lives, then they do what you say. That's positional authority. But moral authority is when people want to follow you. It's because your life is inspirational. They admire your life, the way you live, the quality of your life. And now you can influence them, not by manipulation, not by the threat of punishment, but by a quality good life. That's moral authority. Then Satan really wants to take your life, and then he wants to have a domino effect, hit one domino and all the dominoes connected to it will fall. He wants you to compromise and take your life, and then if he can have a domino effect and affect those who are connected to you in relationship, that's what he wants. So compromise is a part of Satan's design, his arsenal, his weaponry to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, let's talk about integrity. Satan wants to rob you of your integrity. And really, the Bible teaches in the parable of the soil, the Bible says some seed fell on good ground, and the good ground is a person with a good and honest heart, a person who hears the word, practice the word, but they have a good and honest heart. So if you think about that for a moment, the word of God cannot and will not work in a dishonest heart. So integrity is critical, is vital to the word of God producing in your life. And divine prosperity, godly prosperity, comes through the word of God. You meditating, confessing, practicing, acting on the word of God. Now, if you Satan is allowed to take your integrity away from you, then he can keep the word from producing. Even though you hear it, it won't produce because the word will not produce in a dishonest heart. So let's look at this in the light of integrity. Compromise in the light of integrity. Consistency is a pillar of integrity. Consistency. Now, what is consistency? Consistency is harmony or agreement between what you do and say in public and what you do and say in private. Consistency is harmony between what we do and say in public and what we do and say in private. Consistency, secondly, remember it's a pillar of integrity. Consistency is when who you are and who you appear to be are the same. Who you are and who you appear to be are the same. You see, there's a difference between reputation and integrity. Now, Satan is after both of them, but there's a difference between reputation and integrity. Reputation is who you are in the public and who you appear to be in public. That's your reputation. Integrity is who you are in private and the truth about you. See, integrity is when your public self, your reputation, and your private self, your integrity, match. Who you are, what you say publicly, is your reputation. Who you are, what you say and do privately, is your integrity. Now, consistency is when your public self, your reputation, and your private self, your integrity, match. That's consistency. And that's what God wants. Who you are in public, who you are in private, is the same person. Consistency. Now, Satan got Judas to compromise. And let's look at this. Satan got Judas to compromise. Now, Judas was one of the 12 apostles. The Bible says that Jesus went up on a mountain and he prayed all night. Then he called all his disciples. And from those disciples, he selected apostles. Judas was one of the original 12 apostles. Not only was he in this prominent position as an apostle of the Lamb, an apostle of Jesus, but he was the team treasurer. That's powerful. I mean, that's really a powerful promotion. It is my belief, you may differ, but it's my belief that when Jesus selected Judas, he had a right heart, right spirit. I believe that when Jesus made Judas the treasurer of the team, overseeing the finances, having the money bag that they kept the finances, the contributions that came in from people, Judas overseeded Jesus' treasury. I believe that there was a reason why Jesus selected Judas. I believe that Judas had the skill set. I believe that he worked good with money. I believe that he had integrity in the beginning, and I believe Jesus chose him. Now, you have to understand now that God gives us free will. Even if he endows us with gifts and talents and abilities, even though we get born again, he never takes away his free will, our free will. In his sovereignty, God made some choices, and one of those choices was to give man free will. So now we got a person that's selected to be an apostle and to be the treasurer of the team's resources, financial material resources. Now, Satan tempted Judas to compromise, and Judas began to yield to him. Judas began to lower his standards. He began to lower his values over a period of time. Now, let's look at an illustration. John 12:6 in the Christian Standard Bible says, he didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and was still part of what was put in it. Now, in context, so you understand what this is saying, and I'll read it to you again. A woman came into their group, pour this expensive oil on Jesus and anointed Jesus. Jesus received it. In fact, he commended the woman later. But Judas said, this was a waste of a precious ointment. We could have sold this ointment and give it to the poor. Now, that sounds like it is really out of a heart of concern for the poor. But the sixth verse says, and I'll read it to you again, he, Judas, didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and was still part of what was put in it. Now, that's interesting. Judas was the treasurer. This woman came in and poured this expensive bottle of precious ointment on Jesus. And Judas said, listen, that was a waste of oil. Now, she poured it on Jesus. She was anointing Jesus. Think about that. Jesus. And then Judas said, listen, that was just a waste. That was a waste. We could have sold this and given the money to the poor. Well, think about it. If they sold it and given it to the poor, they had to first sell it, then put it in the money bag, then find the poor and give it to them. So the scripture says Judas didn't say this because he cared for the poor, but he knew if they sold it for the poor, they were going to take the revenue from the sale, put it in that bag that he was overseeing. And the Bible says he was a thief and he was stealing out of that money bag. Now, so we're talking about consistency, we're talking about integrity, we're talking about compromise. The world system is built on compromise. So now we see Judas has transitioned from operating out of God's system over into the world system that's ruled by Satan. So Judas' public self, his reputation was that he was an honest, trusted treasurer of God's money. That's the reputation. That's what everybody thought. Watch, listen to this. That's what the people thought. Oh, that's Judas. He's the treasurer. He's the honest, skilled treasurer of the group. That's the way the disciples thought. He's the honest, has the skill set. He has honesty, integrity, skill set, and he's managing our money, the money that people are giving us to live off and to give to the poor. Okay, watch this. So Judas' public self, his public self, his reputation that he was an honest treasurer. But Judas' private self, his integrity was that he was a thief. Now, watch, compromise can grow. You can actually grow in the level of your compromise. Sometimes you start off with little things, maybe getting a dollar out the bag, and then we got to get more money out the bag. So the compromise increases and is hold on us as we yield to compromise. So in John 13:2, in the God's Word translation, it says, while the supper was taking place, the devil had already put the idea of betraying Jesus in the mind of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. Now notice the Bible says that Satan put the idea in his mind to betray Jesus. Now, that's after he was stealing. So it started off with Satan started off Judas like, hey, listen, you work hard, you get little pay, you working all day, all night ministering to these people, they taking in money. You got a right to some of that money. You got a right to it. So he starts stealing. start stealing a little money, because Satan put the idea that he had a right compromise. Now he graduates or escalates the attack on compromise. He said, now, the Bible said he put the idea of betraying Jesus in Judas' mind. So now Judas thinking, listen, this thing is too slow. This thing moving too slow. You know, we got to speed this thing up. I thought Jesus came to establish the 12 tribes of Israel. I thought Jesus was going to make us, we 12, put us on thrones. And shoot, this guy, he's not even moving in that direction. So Satan began to plan it in his mind to betray. So Judas' public self, his reputation, is that he was a committed disciple, elevated to apostleship. He's one of the 12. Everybody looked at Judas, they thought, oh my goodness, he's so committed. But his private self, his integrity, remember, who you are in public is your reputation. Who and what you do in private is your integrity. His integrity, his private self, behind the scene, he was betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That's Matthew 26:14-16. The Bible says he went to the chief priests, the religious leaders, asked them, what do you give me if I show you where we meet and you can capture him? What? And they said, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. So he got the 30 pieces of silver, compromise, betrayed Jesus. So now let's look at the price of compromise. Remember, Satan designed compromise to rob us of our integrity, rob us of our reputation, rob us of moral authority, and then actually rob us of our life and destroy everyone connected to us. So let's look at the price of compromise. Let's look at Judas' end. In Matthew 27:3-5, I'll read it from the New Living Translation. This is one of the saddest accounts in the Bible of how a person can be prospering, because that's the epitome of prosperity, to be selected to be one of the 12 apostles, the apostle of the Lamb. And yet he went from one level of compromise to another level. He began to get one level of compromise. And let's look at his end. Matthew 27:3-5 says, when Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. So he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests and elders, and he confessed to them, I have betrayed an innocent man. I have been responsible for an innocent man being condemned to die. He hands them the 30 pieces of silver. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know whether he was thinking maybe y'all will reverse the verdict. I don't know whether he felt, if I give it back, I'll clear my conscience. I don't know what he was thinking. In fact, I'm not sure that he thought Jesus would be condemned to die. Somehow, maybe, just maybe, in his mind, because he was the Messiah, once they judged him, Jesus would actually be motivated to establish the throne, establish his throne right there. Maybe that was his plan. I don't know. But the Bible says he was filled with remorse, and he acknowledged, I condemned an innocent man. I betrayed somebody who to die who shouldn't die. So maybe he didn't think that far ahead that they were going to actually kill Jesus? How would they kill the Messiah? How would they do that? Maybe he thought that by doing what he did, that Jesus would revolt and Jesus would assume his lordship. And I don't know. But they replied, this is how they responded in the New Living Translation. What do we care? They told him, that's your problem. That's not our problem. That's your problem. And then the scripture said that Judas threw the coins down in the temple and he went out and hanged himself. Wow. Wow. That is, that's tragic. Maybe in your case, it won't lead to death, or maybe it could. But compromise always leads to you going down. You're never going to rise. I mean, Satan will cause you to get promoted for a minute, but if you're doing it by compromise, the higher you get up, the farther you fall. And not only, and you lose your integrity, you lose your reputation because of what you did in private. Now it's manifest in public. Now your reputation public, not only is your integrity destroyed, but your reputation is now destroyed. Now you have no moral authority because nobody want to listen to you now. And now he has destroyed your life, and then he tries to destroy everybody surrounding. Listen, it's a no-win situation. This world system is a no-win situation. It is built of deception. It is built of compromise. And in our final lesson, I'm going to talk about the portrait of a fool. What does a fool look like? Because if you are operating this system, God says you are a fool. Listen, I'm out of time, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Have a great rest of the week.